All right, is everybody ready? Today, we observe the Feast of Trumpets. The Jews call it Rosh Hashanah. This just means the head of the year. And it's their belief that from this day until atonement is a time of reflection, a time of repentance. And the fact that this is what they believe doesn't necessarily say it comes from the Bible. It's their belief. It's their custom, their tradition. Many of the customs they have are just that, customs, traditions. So many think because the Jews do this, it's the way we should do it. But that's not necessarily the case. On this day, there is a tradition of blowing the shofar throughout the day. Jim done with his trumpet. I didn't want to risk it this year. But on this, in the shofar being played, it had three different meanings, or it was to three different groups of people. One was to those who were righteous, to rejoice. To the sinful, repent. And to the wicked, a warning. Now this sound, if you were in your bed in the middle of the night, you heard a sound like this, it would be terrifying. Coming from all over the city, all around you. The danger, the war, people are coming, the enemy is coming after you. It'd be terrifying. And it should be terrifying. God has given us this feast as a reminder. It's to remind us of what's ahead, what we're going to have to go through. Now, as Earl brought out in his offertory, there's three holy days before trumpets and three after. So this is the middle holy day. And three festivals. Passover doesn't have a holy day, but unleavened bread has two. So there's three festivals before and three festivals after. Trumpets is the middle festival. Now, what's that to us? We have lived through the first three. The Passover. We recognize Christ's sacrifice for our sins. The rest of the world still has to do that. They acknowledge Christ, but they don't understand the Passover. Days of unleavened bread. We're still in our days of unleavened bread, but the world still has to go through theirs. We've received God's Holy Spirit. The world has yet to receive it. Our next event, next feast for us, will be trumpets. From that point on, we will no longer be mortal humans. We will be immortal children of God. So that's a big transition for us, what we look forward to. That transition from mortal to immortal, from corruptible to incorruptible. Those are the things we're looking forward to. The feast pictures when Christ will return. When he returns, we will be with him. We'll be changed. Now, there's a lot of things in the Bible that we don't fully understand, but this is one thing God tells us plainly, that Christ, when he returns, his saints will be with him. I've cut out several pages here, I think, for Earl's sake. Of course, that was when I thought he'd be following behind me, so. Turn to Zephaniah 1:12. The title of my message today is The Blowing of the Trumpets. The Blowing of the Trumpets. Now, I want to look at the events surrounding this festival and what we can expect to see and may experience when this day is fulfilled, when Christ does return. But Zephaniah 1, verses 12 through 18. And it shall come to pass that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men that are settled in their complacency, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. They have no concern about God, what God thinks. He won't do anything to us. We can continue doing what we want. Now, verse 13. Therefore, their goods shall become booty and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near, and hastens quickly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, there the mighty men shall cry out bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of ruin and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet, an alarm against the fortified city and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon man, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of them all that dwell in the land. Even their wealth won't help them. We read where it'll be thrown into the streets. The gold will be of no value to us. There's not a lot said in the Old Testament that specifically points out this is of trumpets. But there are some spots that are read in Zephaniah. But soon, as the world events continue to erupt on the scene the way they are now, the violence and the chaos, the immorality and the godlessness, the feast will come to pass. We may see it very soon. Let's look at what Leviticus says about the Feast of Trumpets. Earl's read this in his offertory, but let's look at it again. He's trying to get even with me for using some of his scripture. Leviticus 23, verses 23 through 25. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no regular work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. A memorial of blowing of trumpets. That's all it says here in this chapter that describes the festivals of God. That's why the Jews blow it throughout the day. The trumpets, there were two silver. There was God commanded them to make in it. in the wilderness, and the ram's horn or the shofar were used to communicate, to tell the people what to do, when to, how to assemble, when to assemble, where to assemble, how to leave when they were leaving in the wilderness, going from the tribes, what order to leave. It also announced an assembly. Come together. Listen. Also marked war, a warning. But our current understanding is based upon what is revealed to us in the New Testament. Let me read what one of the commentators writes about Leviticus 23, verse 24. This is from Adam Clark's commentary. A memorial of blowing of trumpets. This is generally called the Feast of Trumpets, and as it took place on the first day of the month of Tishri, which answers to September, which month was the commencement of what was called the civil year. The feast probably had no other design than to celebrate the commencement of that year, if indeed such a distinction obtained among the ancient Jews. Some think creation began at this time. This was his commentary. He had no idea what trumpets was all about. The Jews don't. But God reveals that to us. He also reveals that there's not just one trumpet. There's seven trumpets. But we, in the church, place most emphasis on that seventh trumpet. That's the joyful sound of the trumpet. Rejoicing. That's what we hear. The world will hear the repentance and the warning. Turn to Matthew 24, verse 29. Trying to keep track of time. Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon not give its light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be darkened, or shaken. This is the sixth seal. The sixth seal, which comes right after the tribulation. Now verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. So we see Christ will return after tribulation, after the heavenly seals, heavenly signs. Also, there will be sound of a trumpet when he comes. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So we see that here that the dead will rise first. That's just sound of the trumpet. Then we, if we're alive and been judged fit, will rise up to meet them in the clouds, be with Christ. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, I think I skipped part of that. Verse 50. Let's go back up to verse 50. I missed that. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth incorruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and shall be changed. Okay, now it's the last trump we see here. We saw in Matthew that they'd rise at the sound of the trump. And 1 Thessalonians, the dead would rise first. Here we see that they'll rise at the last trump. That's when Christ will return. Now, Revelation 8, verse 1. Revelation 8, verse 1 and 2. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. I won't make any comment there. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to give them were seven trumpets. So here we see there will be seven trumpets. So Christ will return at the seventh trump. We don't know this by just the Old Testament. We know it by the New. Much of what we know isn't from the New. The New Testament completes our understanding. Second Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may be recompensed for the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. What have we read up to now that shows when the dead in Christ, the elect, when are they judged? Or do they stand before Christ on a judgment? The scripture tells us that when Christ comes, the dead in Christ will be changed. It doesn't say they're going to be judged. They're changed. They're immortal. But Paul says we all must be judged. So when are we judged? At what point are we judged? Turn to 1 Peter 4:17. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? The church is the house of God. When Christ returns, the judgment will already have been done. We will have been judged in this life. What we have done. If we should die today, how confident are you that you'll be judged worthy? Do you have enough love? Remember, Christ told them, those that didn't visit the widows and orphans, or those in prison, those naked, didn't clothe them. He said, depart from me. I don't know you. Do we feel comfortable in saying we're okay with God? We'll be there. When we die, we will have no more opportunity to grow, to develop more of God's Holy Spirit, fruits of His Spirit. This is it. This is our time. We have to face Satan now. God doesn't give us a chance later, say, well, you failed now, but I'm sure after remove Satan, you'll be okay. No, this is our time. Are you confident? Do you feel comfortable being judged now? If this is your day, going home, you have an accident. Or next week, are you going to be ready? Normally we focus on the seventh seal, or seventh trumpet, and the resurrection of the dead, and the change that will take place in the elect of God. But we're observing the Feast of Trumpets, plural. As I read, there's seven trumpets. So we need to look at all seven. What happens when they sound? Revelation 8, 1. Well, I've read that about the seven angels given seven trumpets. Verse 3 through 7. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with a fire from the altar and cast it to the earth. And there were voices and thunders and lightning and earthquakes. Now, we see here that this is a seventh trumpets make up the seventh seal. We had the sixth seal with heavenly signs. Revelation 8, verse 6. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. A third of the grass, or a third of the trees, and all grass. Now, the problems we're having today, many say because we have too much CO2. Plants use CO2. They convert their nutrients into energy using CO2, and they give off oxygen. So that's good balance. But if you have a third less trees and no grass, unless you cut down on your fuel, fossil fuel, your CO2 is just going to skyrocket. We're going to get warmer and warmer. But using less plants, or less plants using an increasing amount of CO2, will build that up and change your atmospheric conditions. But also, does this, all grass, does this include wheat, oats, barley, rice? If it does, how much of the world will experience a famine? Because that's their primary diet. Asia uses a great deal of rice. We use a lot of wheat, oats. That'll affect us greatly. Remember, this is just the first trumpet. There's a sound. It's a warning. Verse 8. Also, no more biscuits and gravy. I mean, that would hurt. That would hurt. Revelation 8, verse 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea become blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, John doesn't say this was a mountain, but it was like a mountain. It could be an asteroid or a meteor. We don't know. But consider how much of the world's food supply comes from the ocean. If a third of that was taken away, there'd be less food. People who depend upon this would have to eat. Take away a third of those shipping or fishing vessels, getting a third less, or fishing a third less of marine life, it'd be devastating for these nations that depend on marine life. But the nations most dependent upon the sea, the island nations like Japan, would be greatly affected. The coastal areas of the world would be greatly affected by the loss of the sea life. Revelation 8, verses 10 and 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now this is affecting fresh water. In this nation, we're not too bad off with fresh water. But over in Africa, some of those nations, water is not that plentiful. And if a third of your fresh water becomes bitter and you can't drink it, that's going to cause a great deal of distress. Now, Revelation 8, verse 12 and 13. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shined not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the voice of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound." Now, it's been pretty bad up to now. But this angel is saying, no, it's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. But this fourth trumpet, third part of the stars, sun and the moon, stricken. Darkness, or it would be a third part of the night and day would be changed. This would affect all outdoor activities. Our commercial farms, our gardens would have less day. Construction, Tommy would be out of work for a third of the day. This is somewhat reminiscent of what happened to Egypt. But it gets worse. The first woe, Revelation 9, beginning in Revelation 9, verse 1. And a fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men who have not the seal of God in their forehead. So now, before we were just affecting the environment, now it starts to affect men and women. But mankind will be affected from here on. And it was given, and to them it was given that they should not kill, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now it's going to describe these locusts. Verse 9. And the shape of the locusts was like unto the horses prepared unto the battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and her face was like the face of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman, and her teeth was as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Now, in the worldwide days, many speculated this could be John's description of helicopters. I have no idea. That was speculation, so we all can make speculation on what this really is, but we don't know. And verse 10. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, whose is the angel in the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue he is called Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, there comes two more after these. This is the first woe trumpet, and it affects man. Abaddon means destroyer. And the destroyer, or bringer of death, is one of the 99 names in the Muslim name for Allah. Not just saying, this is one of the names they have for their God, the destroyer. Now the sixth trumpet, the second woe, Revelation 9:13. And the angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the six angels who had the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, and they were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay a third part of men. A third part of men. Not right now. Now, after the seals, the first five seals, I don't know how many men will be left alive, but they're going to slay a third part here. I guess those that are still alive. And the number of the army of the horsemen was 200,000, or 200 million. And thus I saw the horses in the visions, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three, the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by brimstone which issued out of their mouths. for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. Something like the scorpions or the locusts that were scorpion-like. And their tails were like unto the serpents with heads. And with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. They didn't heed the warning of the trumpets. They didn't repent. Finally, we come to the seventh trumpet, or the third woe. Now, this is the one that we look forward to, the third woe. It won't be a woe to those in God's church, the elect of God. It'll be a time of rejoicing. The trumpet will announce, when it sounds, we can rejoice. The world can mourn. Revelation 15:1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them is complete the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having harps of God. Now, whether this is a metaphor that John sees in a vision, we can't be certain. We won't know until God reveals it to us. Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their throne fell on their faces and worshiped God. Liz sang of this, the new city, a new kingdom. Now, Jude spoke on this in verses 14 and 16. Jude 14, verse 6 through 16. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds that they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. Their mouth speaks great swelling words, holding men in admiration for sake of advantage. Now, Jude uses the reference to Enoch. Now, that's not in the canonized Bible. It's not recognized as an inspired book, but Jude uses this as a reference. 10,000 of his saints coming with him that is coming to judge the earth, to restore God's kingdom on earth. Revelation 16:1. I could have just handed out a Bible and let you guys read this. Revelation 16:1. Heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the bowls of wrath of God upon the earth. So we see the seventh trump has seven bowls of wrath. Now, the elect are going to be with God. These aren't going to affect the elect. The first bowl, Revelation 16:2. And the first went out, and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and there fell a foul and evil sores upon men who had the mark of the beast, and upon them who worshipped his image. Now, you can't go in 1 hour, go to all these references where it talks about receiving the mark of the beast. But suffice it to say, men will receive that mark. And these will, if they survive, will have these sores. The second bowl, Revelation 3. The second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living thing died in the sea. In the second trumpet, a third of the sea life died. But in this bowl or vial of wrath, all life in the sea died. Think how that's going to affect the end of it, the different nations. Verse four, the third bowl. And the third angel poured out his bowl upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, who is and was and shall be, because you have judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given blood to drink, for they are deserving of it." And I heard another out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgment." Now, remember, the third part of the water, fresh water, became blood under the third trumpet. But here, all of it. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. I suppose you could drink blood and survive. It's a liquid, but I mean, it wouldn't be very pleasant, I don't think. But if you're going to survive, you'll have to drink blood. Then again, this could be a metaphor for something else. I don't know. But it doesn't sound like it'll be a metaphor from what the angel said to God. Verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and the power was given unto it to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they repented not, given him to give him glory. Knowing why they're receiving these plagues, they still won't repent. All the previous trumpets that they've experienced, they won't repent. From the first six trumpets, now to these bowls of wrath or vials of wrath of God. Revelation 16:12. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and this water was dried up, and a way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirit of demons, working miracles, to go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they were gathered together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Turn to Daniel 11, verse 40 through 44. Daniel 11, verse 40 through 44. Now this is the prophecy of Daniel of the kingdom of north and south. But verse 40, and at the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, horsemen, and many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. And he shall enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. And he stretched out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over the precious things of Egypt, over the Libyans and the Ethiopians, shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate. Now, remember the river Euphrates being dried up. This army out of the north and the west coming there, he goes out to meet them. But before they battle, Christ comes. Revelation 18:1. After these things, I saw another angel came down from heaven, having a great power, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons, and the haunt of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful birds. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich through the abundance of her luxury. In verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sin, that you receive not of her plagues. Now, this is something we should be doing now, too. Come out of her, this system, this Babylonian type system. Verse 9, it says, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double her unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she has filled her double. Now Revelation 19:6. Babylon will fall. Armageddon will take care of everything. All those. Christ will take control. Revelation 19:6-10. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of many thundering, mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the God, Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. The church is the wife. We have to make ourselves ready. Individually. It won't happen as a group. We have to be ready. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. In the parable of the 10 virgins, the only 5 of the virgins went into the marriage supper. 5 weren't able to go in. They all had God's Holy Spirit. but five had been judged not worthy. Now, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written which no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, the Logos of God. This is Christ. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, white and clean. Remember up here where it talked about the bride in verse 8 of Revelation 19. Says to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Will this be the saints coming with Christ? Verse 15. And out of his mouth goes forth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of God Almighty. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's go on down to verse 19. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army, Armageddon. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that works miracles before him, and with in which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. And these both were cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were slain with the sword of him who sat on the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Okay, now that's the beast and the false prophet been taken care of. Revelation 16, verse 17 through 21. The seventh bowl, or seventh vial of wrath. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl up into the air, and there came a voice out of the temple of heaven from a throne saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nation fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance for God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed because of the plagues of the hail, and for the plagues thereof was exceedingly great. Now God has sent warnings, his watchmen out throughout the ages to warn the people. Most of the time, we don't listen. We fail to learn from other people's experience. God recorded many of these experiences for us throughout the Bible, the prophets, the righteous men. Many of their deeds and actions are recorded for us to learn from, but we don't learn from them because we just... For some reason, we want to do it ourselves. Their ears have grown tired of hearing. We don't want to see, we don't want to hear what God is having to say to us. We reject the things that He tells us. But God is patient, but he does require us to honor him and to praise him. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand you in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your soul. But they say, we will not walk in it. Verse 17, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they say, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among you. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. To what purpose comes there to me incense from Sheba, and a sweet cane from far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay a stumbling block before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. God warns us. He warns the world. He's warned us. We've accepted the calling that he gave us. We've told him we will follow him. We will obey him. We will worship him and do those things that he wants from us. We will love each other. We will love the world. We'll love him. But God will judge that if we are doing those things. Well, the time that most of you are looking forward to, my conclusion. The Feast of Trumpets is the fourth of the seventh annual feast, the Feast of God. And it falls on the first day of the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar. It's the head of the year for the Jews, or the civil year, beginning of the civil year. So they have this New Year's Day for the Jews also. It's at the sounding of a seventh trump that Christ returns, and that we, if we are worthy, if we will be changed, if we're alive, if we're dead, we'll be resurrected to meet Christ in the air. The bulk of prophecy of Revelation is representing about these trumpets, about the second coming of Christ. They warn of impending disasters, calamities that's coming upon the world. They're a warning, but the world won't hear. But we must hear. We've been given an ear to hear. But will we? We observe these feasts every year, not because there's a lot new we can learn, but it refreshes our memory into the plan of God. It helps us to be more focused in our lives if we realize or remember why we were called, what God has in store for us. We can't forget, we can never forget that we're being judged now. We will not be able to speak to the judge, trying to justify ourselves. There's no justification. God knows. Christ will judge us. Tells us to, I don't know you. or come in to supper. So enjoy this feast. Remember what it's all about. And thank God that He has called us and given us understanding of His plan of salvation, which this day represents part of that day.